Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
A reset of the prophetic movement is upon us. The second wave of prophets is rising in this hour. We stand at the edge of a new era in the prophetic. We're gathering the international prophetic community at the Global Prophetic Center, a hub for prophetic training, prophetic labs, summits, networks, and lighthouses. It's time for prophets to go deeper. It's time for seers to soar. It's time for prophetic voices to rise up and decree what says the Spirit of God with accuracy that causes the world to pay attention. The Global Prophetic Center offers proven prophetic systems and structures to equip you to walk worthy of your calling and to prophesy with precision, boldness, diplomacy, and wisdom. Get hands-on training and mentoring in a safe environment that breeds true prophetic community and learning. Receive impartation and activation. Sharpen your gift and avoid prophetic pitfalls. Get commissioned. Get networked. Get sent out with the word of the Lord in your mouth and the confidence to release it. Begin your journey today by applying at globalpropheticcenter.com.
2,000 years ago, Jesus settled something in the heavens. He said in Matthew 28, verse 18, that all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto him. And as a result of that, we can go forth and make disciples of nations. We can teach nations to observe everything that he's taught us. And so therefore, in Christ, we have authority. We can settle issues. And a lot of times, those issues are taken in a type of prayer, accessing the courts of heaven. And today we have an expert in the field with us, Robert Henderson. And you have a brand new book out. This is your third, right?
Yes, it is.
This is your third. This is Receiving Healing from the Courts of Heaven. So in his previous books, that you'll just want to go and find out more about them too. The first one was on the Courts of Heaven. Then the next one was
Unlocking Destiny.
Unlocking Destiny from the Courts. This one is on healing. And you're doing one on financial release
too. Yes.
Right? So this is going to be an exciting series, but we just want to encourage our viewers to get training in this area because it'll change the way that you intercede, where you can execute the justice of God based on his promises by faith. So we're going to talk about this book in a few moments, but just before we started, producing this, as we started getting ready to share, you were sharing with me a prophetic visitation you had from the Lord when you were in Ireland recently, and I want you to share it with our audience.
Well, I would love to. As I was sharing with you just briefly, I had a dream while I was in Ireland, and what I saw was I saw the game show Jeopardy, and I had to explain it to other people from other parts of the world. But in America, we know the game show Jeopardy and how it all operates. And in this game show, they were in Final Jeopardy. In the game show Jeopardy, there's three rounds: Jeopardy, Double Jeopardy, and then Final Jeopardy. And whoever risks the most and gets the correct answer, they always usually win the game.
Sure.
And I saw that there was this. We were in Final Jeopardy, and whoever risks the most actually won the game, if you will. And what I really sensed and understood in the dream, just explaining it briefly, what I understood in the dream was that we were in a place of Final Jeopardy, and that the word crisis in our English language, it comes from the Latin language, and it means dangerous opportunity.
I love that.
And that literally, wow, God is moving us into a season of time. I believe we're in a season of time with the 70-year history of Israel and all this kind of thing, that we are in a season of time where that the decisions we make in this time will determine our future, will determine where we go. And that it is that God is presenting us with dangerous opportunities. In other words, that yes, there's danger associated with it, but I can't so let the danger persuade me, yes, that I don't take hold of the opportunity. And I was reminded of the children of Israel when they came to the border of Canaan. And literally they said there's chariots of iron chariots, there's giants, there's walled cities, and they let the danger danger of the situation caused them to miss the opportunity right. that God was presenting
because
them with.
Because God had already told them that they would overcome and move in.
That's right.
Right. So
that's right.
And they didn't get the answer right.
That's exactly right. They didn't get the answer right. Right. And see, I believe that God is, we're literally moving into a season of time now where that there are things we've waited on, but it's going to take a realm of faith. We're going to have to
sure.
move in another dimension of faith that maybe we've been reluctant to in times gone by, or maybe we actually did, but it wasn't the right
sure.
season. But because it's final jeopardy, because this is the season, this is the time that when we take the step into it this time, just like Peter, he fished all night and caught nothing. But a few hours later, because the season had changed, he launched out of the deep and caught a catch.
There you go.
See, because it's all about the season that
yeah.
we're in. And I realized in the dream when I had it that it was about the season that we were in, and that if we would do maybe even things we've done before and got no results for,
sure.
that if we would
in
do them now
season,
in this
yeah.
season, it would produce great results. But I cannot let the failure of the past season
hold
stop me
yeah.
from stepping into this realm of faith in this season.
Wow. Powerful word. And I believe that that is really speaking to some of you as individuals, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, did I ever need that word right now? Because that's exactly where I'm at. And so some of you are being invited by God to take some big risks. He's going to love you the same whether you take them or not.
That's right.
That's not the issue. The issue is about fulfillment of the full destiny plan that God has for your life. So bring that to the Lord. And if the shoe fits, wear
That's
it,
right.
you know, because this is not an opportunity that we're going to want to see slide by. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, receiving healing from the courts
yes.
of heaven. I'm so excited about this because many people are suffering with sickness and disease, and they don't get healed right away. Mm. You know, the manifestation doesn't come. And sometimes years later, and they're wondering why I thought I've done everything, but you've got keys in this book
yes.
to help, you know, people like you. If you fit that description, this book is going to help you. But before we go into all the intricacies of the healing aspect, could you give us a review
mm-hmm.
of our access to the courts of heaven and our operations there?
Yes. Well, I understand that the heavenly realm is legal. And let me just say this. A lot of people have heard me teach on the courts of heaven throughout the course of years now. But I tell them now, look, I'm not teaching you a method of praying. I'm teaching you how to enter a spiritual dimension.
There you go. Sure.
Because the courts of heaven is not a method. It's a spiritual
right.
dimension. And so we, by faith, step into that dimension.
That's right.
See, some people say, well, I don't have the gifts as necessary. And I say, you don't have
yeah,
to.
No, you're a believer. So
that's
you have
right.
access.
That's right. First of all, you have more gifts than you think you
right.
have. But secondly, whatever realm you function in prophetically, that is sufficient to step into this dimension. And so I encourage people to do this because this dimension called the court of heaven is a legal dimension. And the best way to explain it, I think, is out of 1 Peter 5, verse 8, where that Peter, as an apostle, said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary. And that is the Greek word antidikos, which means one who brings a lawsuit. It says that the devil is our legal opponent,
sure.
that he is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So the whole idea there is that the enemy cannot devour us except he has discovered a legal right to do it from.
Right.
And we step into the courts of heaven on one level, and we remove his legal rights because of what the blood is,
yeah.
because of what the blood
because
says.
Because of our covenant with Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
We take our position in the spirit dimension. I tell people, I said, the blood of Jesus repositioned us in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just become aware of this. Romans 5, verse 2, it says that we by faith, says that we have access by faith into the grace in which
yeah.
we stand. I mean, that's an amazing
it's very,
statement.
Very, very powerful.
Because it says we're standing in a spiritual place, but we still have to access it by faith. So we're not trying to get somewhere. We're simply trying to access where we already are.
Right.
And that's the spirit dimension. That's one of these dimensions is the court of heaven.
Right. And we have bold confidence that we can access the throne of grace.
Absolutely.
So we can stand in that grace and go for it. So
absolutely.
I highly recommend getting his first book on the courts of heaven, and because it's so good. And even if some of it is repeated in this book a bit, just to give you reference to it, it's worth getting it in more and more. Every book has different different insights and revelation that's going to help them. And especially for intercessors, it's really good to know your position.
Absolutely.
So that you can intercede with the skill of this access, of knowing what your rights are, of knowing how to execute the justice of God. So share with us about the healing component of this and what God's been teaching you on
well,
this.
Well, first of all, we began to move in healing really heavily like in 2000. Mm-hmm. I had a dream in November, I still remember, November of 1999, where God was strongly pressing me to step into this realm. And so in 2000, we began to move, early 2000, we began to move in healing. We started seeing phenomenal things happen. But as great things were happening, suddenly my wife has a dream. And in the dream, the Lord tells her, she hears God's voice saying, tell Robert, if he does not pray for them correctly, they will die. And that just messed with me. I thought, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yes, really.
And I didn't know what to do with it. And so
years later, just a little bit of weight on your shoulders.
Yes, it
right?
does. And so years later, when the Court of Heaven teaching came, and I began to say, I thought, that's what God was saying. That there's a legal dimension that literally, if I don't understand the legal realm, then I can be trying to get some people healed that there's something legally resisting them from getting the full benefit of everything Jesus died for. And then I began to find it in Scripture. You know, for instance, in Luke chapter 13, this is the most prominent one. Luke 13, Jesus, it says, he sees the woman bent over. And when he sees her bent over, he says, woman, you are loosed. Yeah. Well, that is the Greek word apoluo, and it means to cancel a debt, to decree a divorce, or to dissolve a contract.
That's so awesome.
So Jesus legally set her free. And then it says he touched her. And she was made straight. But he had to deal with the legal issue, the legal contract that the enemy had to hold her in that sickness. He had to undo it so that the anointing could have the effect. And I began to realize, how many times have I prayed for people and they would physically feel the anointing, but they would still be sick?
There we go.
Because there was something legal that was resisting the anointing from having the effect God has designed it to have. And so when we move the legal thing out of the way, all of a sudden the healing started coming.
Oh, I love that.
And I just saw it happen in Ireland. Unbelievable things started happening as we dealt with legal issues. Ladies coming out of wheelchairs. A lady that was deaf in an ear since she was 11 years old was now 62. She had been hit by a car, flipped upside down, hit her head. From that point on, she'd been deaf in her right ear.
Wow.
When I dealt with the legal issue, her ear popped open after, 51 years. And all of a sudden she's able to hear, and she and everybody in the room is amazed, including me.
Yeah.
I said, this stuff actually works.
Yes,
just a lot of neat and powerful things happening.
Well, the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll set you free. And this is so exciting. In fact, I feel already that there are some of you that are being awakened. You're thinking, oh, wow, that's it. That's it. That's what I need. Tell me more. Can I really believe that a number of you are going to receive healing just because you're sitting under the truth of the Word of God? So position yourself to receive that healing because these keys are going to help you. But Robert, I want to have you share a little bit on about the trading floor.
Okay.
Okay, making trades in heaven, because in your first book and in the second, it is mentioned on how the trading takes place and that. And I know that a lot of our viewers might have never heard of that before, but it would be good for you to give some understanding on that.
Yeah, because trading works both in the heavenly realm and on the demonic side. And so, for instance, in Ezekiel 28:14-16, when Lucifer, we know he was Lucifer before he was thrown out of heaven, the Bible says that that iniquity was found in him. So he was created perfect.
You're right,
I mean,
absolutely.
The Bible says God doesn't create anything that's not perfect. And so he was created perfect in all of his ways, but somehow or another, iniquity was found in his heart. And the Bible says that he, through the abundance of his trading, there was violence found in him. And so you look at that, and when you read it, it sounds like that trading is bad. Okay, but what we have to understand is that if trading is bad, then the cross is bad.
Right.
Because when Jesus died on the cross, that was the
greatest trade
of all. See, because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. It says in Isaiah 53:4, he bore our sicknesses, carried away our pains.
Right.
So he gave us health in the place of sickness and disease. But then also 2 Corinthians 8:9 It says that he became poor that we might become rich. So the cross was a trade.
Sure.
And so if trading is wrong, then everything Jesus did would be wrong. So trading is actually a heavenly activity. When it says that Satan, or Lucifer at that time, through the abundance of trading, was filled with violence, it's because he traded with the wrong heart. Okay, so it wasn't that trading
was
wrong.
Going on in heaven.
That's
all
right.
Along.
That's
trading.
Right. It is a heavenly activity.
But he didn't watch his heart as he was trading, and through the abundance of that iniquity.
That's right. That's right. And of course, Isaiah 61, this is what I love. It says, we all know this. He gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So all of that, a trade,
all
obviously.
Traits.
And then
yep.
It says that we might become the trees of righteousness, the
planting
of the Lord. So through trading, we actually are transformed. And I thought, well, what do I do? So often whenever I feel so weak, so powerless, so much of a failure, I mean, that we deal with our own stuff, that I come before the Lord and I pour all of that out and I receive
sure.
His abundance of grace.
So good.
See, what I've just done, I just made
a trade.
That's
easy, isn't it?
Yes.
You
just
say,
made a trade.
Lord,
in the
I'm feeling weak today. I give you my weakness and I receive your strength.
Yes, because it's a spiritual
sure.
reality. So I'm saying all that to say trading is a heavenly activity. So Satan traded, but he traded with an impure heart. That caused him, according to Ezekiel, to get thrown out of heaven. Okay, he understands the principle of trading. So when he comes, this is so powerful. So we already established that
sure.
the cross was the greatest trade. Okay, but what happened? In the garden, Satan comes to Adam and Eve, and he offers them something. And he gets them to take what he's offering, which is sin. And the moment they take that, it gives him the right to take something from them. Mm-hmm. And they lost creation through a trade.
Wow.
See, they lost creation.
This is so clear, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So clear.
They lost creation through a trade, but Jesus gained it back through another
right.
trade. So it's been gained back now. But they lost it. So that is the way Satan works. So here's what he does in regards to what we're talking about. Maybe in our bloodline, maybe in our own life, people make trades with Satan either knowingly or unknowingly. In fact, anytime we're tempted, it's him trying to get us on his trading floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we give in, we run the risk of losing something precious
wow.
to us because we've just made a trade.
Sure.
It gives him the right to take something from
right.
us. And for some people, it's been health issues
right.
or something of that nature. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that's sick, there's sin in their life. That's not what I'm saying.
Sure.
But sometimes we see that is the case from Scripture, and especially as it relates to us
you
or our bloodline.
You want to get it checked out anyway.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, we wouldn't want to be so proud to think, well, I would never have sin, so
that's
I'm not
exactly.
even going to go there. I mean, if I have anything at all. In fact, just recently, I was struggling with some health issues, and I went before the Lord, and I said, I need to know what's going on. Is there anything in me? Mm-hmm. And he said, there was trauma. There was trauma in your emotions a number of years ago, actually, mm-hmm. it was. And he showed me the situation. And he said, at that time, I let fear in, I let stress in, and I just kept going, but I didn't look after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had me go back. So it was like, it's true, like what you're saying. And it can be subtle. You might not even realize it at the time. You just have to keep surviving. So you go forward. But there can be those things that get in there, and they can be easily reconciled.
You know,
back,
you're
right?
saying that, and it reminds me, years ago, this principle was out in operation, and I didn't realize it. There was this lady, a Baptist lady, that knew nothing about the things we're mm-hmm. talking about. And but she came, and she had been impacted by the ministry, and she had fibromyalgia. So she came to me, and she said, would you pray for me? So I began to pray for her. The moment I began to pray for her, the pain intensified to the point that she was screaming in pain. And I stopped, and I said, what's happening? And she told me the pain's increasing. I said, then that tells me this is not just a disease, this is demonic. I said, because it's fighting the anointing.
Sure.
And I said, when did this happen to you? And she said, several years ago, she said, my son-in-law was murdered, was viciously murdered.
Wow.
And the doctor told me that because of the stress I was under at that time, fibromyalgia had developed. And I looked at her and I said, well, that's not completely true. I said, the stress you were under actually allowed the enemy to take advantage of
sure.
you. What you're dealing with is a demonic thing here as a result of the stress you were under that somehow or another, there was a trade made, there was a legality it was done. So anyway, what I did was I told her, she was a Baptist, and so I was trying to help her. I said, look, I'm about to rebuke this thing, and I may get loud because that's kind of me. I said, I may get loud. And I said, I'm not angry at you. I'm just going to deal with this thing. So I took authority over that. Literally, the power of God hit her, picked her up off her feet, and threw her backwards. And when she got up, she was running around the room completely healed of fibromyalgia because of the stress and
the
trauma
root
issues.
It was the root of that.
Yes.
Was back to that. I mean, because stress and anxiety, fear, it's sin.
Yes.
Anything that's not of faith is
that's
sin.
Good.
So there could be lots of landing strips there.
Absolutely.
But the good news is, we can trade it.
That's right. That's right. We come, and I think what we do is we come and we say, Lord, I'm just bringing this to you. I'm bringing that stress. I'm bringing that trauma. I'm bringing this place of weakness that I'm in. Because he's very clear. He says, in our weakness, he's made strong.
Right.
So there's a trade that's made there. So I bring him my, I don't have to be, he's not going to reject me because of my weakness. He welcomes my weakness.
Sure.
And I can just come and lay that and say, now, Lord, I'm asking for your strength. I'm just making a trade with you.
I gladly give you my weakness.
That's right. Absolutely.
I joyfully give you my weakness.
Yeah, Paul said, I boast in my weakness.
Right.
I mean, it's an amazing
because
thing.
Because in that weakness, his strength is made perfect.
Absolutely.
The trading floor. That's awesome. Okay, so let's go back specifically to the subject of healing now. And we already covered a little bit about when people have long-term illnesses and they're not getting a manifestation of healing from the anointing, then that's a really good clue is to look further to see if there's any legal issues. Can you give us some more testimony or some more scripture references to build our faith on that?
Oh, absolutely. See, we talked about the woman that was in that condition. It was bent over for 18 years. But then we see the man let down through the roof.
Right.
And when Jesus, when the people tore the roof off, they let the man down. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Well, he didn't come to get his sins forgiven. He came to get his body healed.
Right.
He was paralyzed. But
Jesus addressed that.
That's right.
First.
Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew that the man was in the condition because of the activity of sin in his life. So when he said, your sins are forgiven you, well, forgiveness is a legal thing. Forgiveness is being freed from a debt. It's being let go from an obligation we can't pay. So he forgave him of his sins. And then he said, of course, they wondered, which I heard someone say one time. They said, you know, who does this man think he is that he has the right to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. I heard someone say one time, I thought it was so powerful. He said 2,000 years ago, it says, they had no problem believing Jesus could heal. They questioned whether you could forgive. Yeah. He said today, we don't question whether he can forgive. We wonder whether he can heal.
Wow.
Because it's just been completely reversed.
Wow.
But so they said, well, who does he think he is? Well, to prove who he was, he said, I say to you, take up your bed and walk.
Sins are forgiven.
That's right. Yeah. Because he released him from the legal issue by forgiving him sin so that when he proclaimed healing, he was able to receive it because the legal issue had been removed from him.
Beautiful.
And then, of course, in John 5:14, there's another scripture where that Jesus goes to the man at the pool of Bethesda and he says, do you want to be made well? Well, this guy's been in this condition for 38
and he's
years.
He's pushing in for 38
yes,
years.
Yes, 38 years. And so Jesus said, do you want to be made well? Well, that was a strategic question because when somebody's been sick for that long, it's really easy to get your identity in that
That's
sickness.
True.
That you're just you don't know who you are outside of it. And so he said, do you want to be made healed? Well, the interesting thing was the man said, well, I don't have anybody to put me in the water when it stirred. And I often say he was answering a question Jesus wasn't asking.
Right.
But Jesus basically said, take up your bed and walk. Well, after he's healed in John 5:14, he finds him in the temple. And I thought that's so significant.
Sin no more.
Yes, he says, sin no more lest a worse thing come on you.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, he's saying the reason you were in that condition is because of some sin. Don't go back to that thing because it's going to give the enemy a legal right to visit you with something worse. And I don't know what could be worse than 38.
Jesus gave him the trading.
That's right.
You know, he traded and then he said, no, this is your key. And that's your key right now too. Is that we want to watch over our soul with all diligence because from our soul comes the issues of life, the choices that we make. And so often sin can be subtle. You know, we don't have to get all sin conscious and be looking for everything wrong. But if you're seeing the fruit, Jesus said, if there's a bad fruit, there's a bad root somewhere. So we simply, without condemnation or anything like that, we go and ask the Lord, what is the root of this? Is there something that is causing this? And then we can go with absolute authority to the courts of heaven, where Jesus, you know, Jesus settled the issue and traded off. The blood's already your verdict. Your forgiveness is already your verdict. And then that trade can be made. I know that many of you are getting healings right now. I want to encourage you to get this book. Just go on Amazon right now and get it, or you can go to Robert Henderson's website, and that's on your screen right now, and get it there, as well as other teachings he has that you would be so amazed at. I really want to encourage you to go. But Receiving Healing from the Courts of Heaven by Robert Henderson, we really encourage you to get that. Thank you so much for joining us on today's program. I just want to encourage you to go to patriciaking.com for some more information on the ministry. And there's so much available to you there, our events and our resource and partnership. It's a place where you will want to peruse that site. But also, I want you to remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you into healing. He loves you into deliverance. He loves you into freedom. So go and tell the world about that love, because there's people waiting right now for you to let them know. We'll see you next time.
You have gifts. God expects you to use them. If you need training to school your gift, log on to schoolofthespirit.tv. You'll find training in spiritual warfare, prophetic ministry, prayer, seer's ministry, writing, and so much more. Go to schoolofthespirit.tv today. You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.